All right, we'll call a regular meeting to order. Salute to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, open the floor to residents with public comment. Anybody have any comments? Lori.
I just have one. I received an email from one of the board members that said, you know, moving forward, my email is at the name trustee Scotia at gmail.com. Now, I remember when we were on the board, we developed a at the villageinassau.org.
Yes, he should be at villageinassau.org.
Is that what the official emails are?
That's what the official emails are.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
No, it is definitely villageofnassau.org.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, we have, I'm going to just bring up Ben Seiden from LaBerge Engineering. And I've asked him to come tonight and talk to us about the grant process for the water main work that we need to do on Route 20 and how that process works. There's a lot of misconception out there about what's available and what we're eligible for. So I figure he's the expert. We'll have him kind of bring us all up to speed so we know where we are.
Well, thank you, Mayor. When we first started talking about the project back in late spring, we had also been able to develop a grant process to bring it through to next year's construction program. As you met with Ron earlier today with the project summary, you're looking to be able to have this project done in the ground complete as far as the water in November with some seeding and groundwork done next spring, which precludes you from going for certain applications and grants. Unfortunately or fortunately, we have many grant programs in the state. And last year, the governor came out with all the water main breaks that we had, said there'd be money available for programs. The Assembly and Senate came together and created the New York State Water Infrastructure Improvement Act, NYWIA. And all the press came out, press releases, how they're going to be able to solve all the community's woes and get everyone's hopes up. And when the first program came out after the budget, they said there's $200 million we're going to give to communities. That $200 million really isn't $200 million. It's a little bit of smoke and mirrors. There's only about $50 million that's going to be available last week, $75 in March next year, and $75 the following March. And in doing that, the program went through many iterations. From originally, that people thought that they'd be able to apply to fix the water breaks from the winter, to you have to go through the process of applying through both the drinking water or the clean water revolving loan fund program through the process called the intended use plan. Once a year, EFC, the Environmental Facility Corporation, and Department of Health put out a mega list. That's, I guess, a real technical mega. A really big list of all of the programs, of all the projects that need to have low-interest financing or grants for all the communities in the state. So you do a small justification form and a smart growth program. We put that in for you, and you're listed. Now you're on the list, you're eligible to apply for the application and the program. The condition, though, is it all depends on your points. They rank, they being the state, rank every project based upon public health and safety, financing, number of users, a number of variations and variables. In doing that, you do not have a high enough ranking to really warrant putting in an application by September 4th. And there's a couple reasons for that. Number one is we as a firm and me individually, we do not readily just throw applications in for a community to take the money to put an application is going to lose. Having a ranking of 70, which is what you had, will not be a successful application, which is why we spoke last August about not applying for the September 4th application, because you weren't going to be successful. They wanted projects that are ready to go, but could not have started before end of October. You need to get this thing done and start in October and done by November, which precludes you from being able to apply for that. Two, you were a drinking water project, not a clean water project. So drinking water had to have full engineering reports complete, and CEQA complete, and environmental complete to even be eligible for the project. So you couldn't be ready to go by September 4th. You are able to go by March. The rules may change a little bit, but in essence, you can apply by March. If you apply in March, you're eligible for a grant of up to 25% of your project, with the rest being other funds. So if your project is $150,000 or $200,000, you have an opportunity to apply. But And the challenge you have is the point system and the economic hardship and the public health and safety, where there are other projects in the state where there are in dire need that are much more difficult than your small waterline project. I wouldn't be comfortable, I wasn't comfortable in August, putting in an application that wasn't going to be successful. Where you have the opportunity, where it's two different things. One was last May, and Julie spoke about the Community Development Block Grant Program. And you guys had an opportunity to do an income survey to determine whether or not you'd be eligible to apply for that program. The income survey wasn't finalized. We don't have those numbers determined if you hit the 51%. If you were 51%, you could have applied last July to know this December. The key to that is what you and I spoke about a few minutes ago, Guy, was that right now the regions are involved in what's called the Regional Economic Development Council competition, and the governor has his Hunger Games concept of pitting region versus region for the Upstate Revitalization Initiative. If the region wins, all the small projects have a much lower shot of winning that as well. You could not apply for that if you did the income survey, so we don't know if you would have been eligible for that yet. What you are still eligible for if you wanted to delay this project is the USDA. The USDA Community Facility Program and the Water and Wastewater Program allows you to do what's called a PED first, a Preliminary Eligibility Determination. You take the engineering report that Ron worked on and a form and your seeker, we submit it to the USDA. October 1st starts the new fiscal year on the federal level, so all the money gets re-upped, for lack of a better term. There's money available. So you can put in the PED. They'll give you what's called a Preliminary Findings of Fund. They'll let you know what you're eligible for a combination grant and loan. Loan can be about 2.5% to 3%, not much better than what you can get right now, but it can go up to 38 years. And then they'll give you a small grant to go along with that. But that means you can't begin your project this spring, if not in the fall. So the village's decision has to be, is it worthwhile for the village to wait and delay another year on the project, putting it in the ground? Or is it for the potential or the possibility of a grant, or is it best to just go forward now and finish up the project? And one of the challenges you have is, as much as it's a difficulty for residents with the water rates, it's not a high enough charge for the state to come in and give a grant based upon the user rates. So you have to go USDA and apply that way if you want to wait a year. So those are kind of, that's the myriad. The last thing you can do, though, and where I'm advocating for you to do, where you consider, is because your project will not be completely complete, it'll be substantially complete, the water turn on, the pipe will be in the ground, the water will be flowing, it'll be fixed this fall. Because you're still going back in the spring to do the final groundwork, I would go back to your state senator and ask them for assistance through the state and municipal facilities program, SAM. One of our clients, the town of Olive in Catskill, yesterday, just got a $150,000 grant for their highway garage and upgrades to their town hall. That is funding that's secured through your state senator, through the dormitory authority of all places. They administer the SAM program. So that's where I would go, because your project is technically still open. If you follow the guidelines and the schedule that Ron set forth with you today, if your project, the seeker, letting the contract, hiring the contract with substantial completion, regrading, seeding, and completion in the spring, the project's still open. You can then use this time to get funding or some funding towards, even if it's $50,000 from state program. And I would recommend that because there's very little for you to do that. That was poor English, I apologize. But very little that has to occur. It's a letter, it's a meeting with the state senate office, it's them putting in their request, and if successful, it's in that pot of money. I don't want to call it a slush fund, that's not fair. The projects are set aside for community projects like yours. That's where I would go. It's the least amount of out-of-pocket cost to you for the greatest benefit and quickest turnaround.
Can you get funding if you've already done the project?
The project's still going to be open. That's why.
If you already laid out the money and you borrowed the money and you've done all that stuff, doesn't have to be prospective.
Correct. Well, in that program, I have not. It's got a lot more flexibility. There's no real rules. Limited rules at best. Every other program that I've worked with, you can't start the program, you can't start the project until you get funding, whether it's CDBG, whether it's this new NIWEA program. So if you were to want to delay your project until the spring, and risk the winter like we had last year, that's something you have to take a look at the Farmer's Almanac and decide which way you want to go based upon projected weather patterns. That's up to you. If you do that, you have opportunities to go to the USDA and ask for that. If you were, this was a $500,000 project, it may be a little bit more difficult for that decision to be made. But I don't see it as that size right now. So that's up to you if you want to wait, if you want to delay, or if you want to do part of it now and then finish it in the spring. Most programs, minus the SAM program, you can't go backwards. You can use EFC funding to refinance your debt if you had a hardship. But again, your user rate isn't $900 or $1,000 a household that I'm aware of. And I have clients that come to me saying, I'm projecting to pay $1,300 a year for water. And to pay that, that's way above the state threshold that the Office of State Controller, as well as EFC and USDA use. So because of that, they got a $500,000 grant at the USDA to lower that to $932. Still a hefty sum to have water, but it's closer to that target service rate. So that's the balance. That's why I'm here, because Bob said that everyone thinks there's grants for everything. And there aren't really grants for everything. It's unfortunately, some people legislate from press releases and sound bites, and they don't govern. You can't govern through a soundbite. You can't govern through a press release. Everyone thinks because there's money out there that's mine to take, but the only real programs you can go for water, I mentioned, were CDBG, the EFC loan, USDA grant loan, NIWIA, and then this state and municipal facility program. That's where I would put my resources at.
And if we waited till the spring, we'd still get ranked again anyway as to necessity and cost, you know, for villages and whatnot too, which we wouldn't have much any better of a ranking then.
Not on the EFC, Drinking Water State Revolving Loan Fund, but you still have that opportunity with the USDA. We have to really look at your target service charge and work with them to see what they give you as far as a loan. They will give you low interest loans, but based upon your median income, it changes from 0 to 2.5 to 4%,
mm-hmm.
and it changes from 30 to 38 years. And the percentage of grant changes within that also based on median income.
And when I talked to them about the targeted water rates, they said it was 1% of median income.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 1.5%. But they're going back and forth.
Well, even at 1%, I mean, you know, it's like $550 a year. Which is, we pay less than that.
That's one of the challenges. And unfortunately, to play the game of the grant programs, you either have to wait and let it fall apart and get a consent order. So when they prove you have to fix it, and you say, I need help. Or you have to rate so high that they have to come in and help you.
Hmm.
But when you have a program like yours, where it's very reasonable, within reason, you're looking at under $500, while no one likes to pay for water, it's still not $932 or $1,300. So there's a reasonability factor. There's not a huge public water and health safety issue. You still have the other line is still there. It's hard to win a grant off of that. It's hard to make that case that they should fund you over somebody with this huge break or is paying you that kind of money. That's why they have those thresholds in it. That's why I go back to the SAM program, which is where the senator can go in through the budget process and provide you that opportunity for a grant. Even $25,000 or $50,000 is a huge dent in your future. And that's where I would go. Instead of putting money into a grant writer to write a grant that's not going to be successful, I'd rather you save that and work directly with the senator.
Any board members have any questions? All right. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate your time. And
no problem.
Thank you for coming out and speaking with us tonight.
I love coming out here. I was here last week. Well, thank you all. Have a good night. For those of you at school tomorrow, happy first day.
All right. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay, we have the minutes for the meeting from August 12th to 2015. There was one change in the Water Department report, so I'll entertain a motion for the minutes as amended. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Ayes have it. Let's see.
I took yours. Because I lost mine somewhere along in my
journey. That's okay. I got others.
Sorry. Look at you. Oh, my God.
Okay. Hey, everybody got a copy of the treasurer's report? entertain a motion to approve the treasurer's report as presented. Motion by Guy, second by Randy. Any questions on the treasurer's report? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Correspondence. Let's see. So I just have the card, is that it? We received a card, actually. The card was directed to... Well, it is directed to the village, but it's really more for the youth committee. But I will read it. Dear Village of Nassau, thank you so much for including the Nassau Resource Center in your tie-dyeing event. We greatly appreciate the community support for our efforts to help local families in need. The Nassau Resource Center is currently serving 50 to 60 families each month. This is only possible with the help of the larger community. May God bless you all. Diana Murphy, volunteer coordinator from the Nassau Resource Center. Anybody have any other correspondence? Okay. Okay, reports, Highway Department. Let's see. Get a highway report?
No,
we didn't do it. Okay. We'll double that up for next month. Water department.
Our average daily use for the month was 120,000 gallons. Jay and Jameson are in the process of replacing the hydrant on Lake Ave. They just have to turn it, right? To finish that completion.
Yeah, they should turn a 4.5-inch steamer out towards the street.
And then they have one more to do on Fairview Road. We had a leak on 20 that was repaired by Cumberland Farms. It was not a water main leak. It was actually an old service leak from the old IGA, we think, right?
Right. It was repaired on, it was repaired actually by, I know you said it right, but it was repaired by Keller.
Keller Construction.
In front of Cumberland Farms, not by Cumberland Farms.
Sorry. So, that was repaired and Route 20 was repaved. All the, Kester Current, there was samples on it, Fairground Street, two samples for Polycom, and they're all negative. Continue to keep our water flowing. And did you report on the project last week, the generator at the tank?
I think there was a...
Yep, second generator, it's all complete. So now we have backup at the tank and at the pump house to keep our water going for a power outage. Finally, over the years, the county has been asking us to do it, and we've come up to... 20%.
Yeah. Well, good. We got to hook up for the light when the power drops, and we're good.
Yeah. That's it.
All right, police department.
Officer Jones filed a written report for August. You should have that, a copy of that. On August, there's 33 investigations, 10 arrests, 67 traffic tickets. 14 of those tickets were for speeding, and the average speed over the speed limit was 16 miles an hour for those tickets. Unit 602, the Tahoe, has 96,700 miles on it. 603, the Crown Victoria, has 28,800 miles on it. The fire department has expressed interest in purchasing the Tahoe to use as either a chief's vehicle or incident command vehicle. They've had it inspected by their mechanic, and when it is taken out of service later this year, we'll see if some deal can be made. There was one DWI arrest, two DWAI arrests, drug arrests in August. The DWI arrest was actually a violation of Leandra's law, which means the individual was driving with a driving while intoxicated with a minor in a vehicle. In this case, the minor was a 5-year-old, so very unfortunate. I did my monthly ride-along with the officers. It was generally uneventful. I do want to highlight three other incidents. The first was on August 21st, when our officers were handling a routine handicapped parking spot violation at Cumberland Farms. Upon their investigation, the passenger in the vehicle was found to be in possession of a loaded .22 caliber pistol with a scratched-off serial number, so who knows what that gun has been used for in the past. Also, 3.5 grams of crack cocaine in individual packets ready to sell on the street. The driver was also in possession of 0.5 gram of crack cocaine and a small amount of marijuana and a stun gun, which is in New York an illegal weapon. And both were arrested under multiple charges. Later on, directly after that incident, there was a little bit of a scuffle with someone who was watching the officers. Got into a scuffle with the clerk at Cumberland Farms and was asked to leave. Eventually, was arrested for endangering welfare of a child and some other charges. But I think the reason I highlight this is because I think it's good to see that the businesses in the village are being served by the police. So, it's good to see them working together. The last incident I want to report on happened just last week. And it was during the course of a civil property retrieval task. Basically, the officers were helping someone retrieve their property from another person's residence who they have an order of protection against. They observed in the residence several illegal weapons, and these weapons are rather interesting. One was a metal knuckle knife, which is really a pair of brass knuckles with a knife sticking out the side. A cane sword, a dagger, literally a dagger out of the medieval times. Nunchucks, some other sort of dangerous knife, and a morning star. If you're not aware, a morning star is sort of like a handle with a chain and a big ball with spikes on the end of it. Since this individual who had the stuff in their possession had been previously convicted of a crime, having possession of these weapons actually becomes a felony. So there was an issue there. The officers also secured several firearms from the residents, and they were turned over to the ATF because of possession of these firearms when you have an order of protection against you is also a federal offense. So needless to say, this person living in our village was an incredibly dangerous individual, and this was on Lake Avenue. Personally disconcerting to me since I live only a few houses away. So that's our little village, and I'm happy that the police are here to help us maintain order.
Okay, thanks, Guy. Dave?
I got a couple of things, but they're later specified on the agenda, so maybe we can take them up then.
Okay. Any trustees have anything else they want to bring up? Okay, over the last month, I've been working with LaBerge on the water project, trying to get that ready. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. I think that is on the agenda, right? Oh, okay. Well, we can talk about it now. So, so y'all heard what Ben had to say, and I've been going back and forth with him about, there's got to be money out there. And apparently there is money out there, but it's not likely that we're going to qualify for a lot of grants or low-interest loans or those kinds of things. And the other issue is that do we want to really wait another season, another winter, after having spent $190,000 last winter to repair water main breaks, and in addition had to repair up the 4-inch main yet again in July, and then down closer to the light, which, was probably caused by something Cumberland Farms did, but another situation where we had to make a repair down closer to the light. Now, the forecast for this winter is supposed to be as bad or worse than the previous one, from what I'm hearing. And, you know, so that decision needs to be made. So, we're working for the possibility, if the decision is to continue and to get this work done this year, that we'll be able to do that. We do have some things that we need to still accomplish between now and, you know, in the next month in order to do that. We need to secure some easements. But we have, so far we have the plans and specifications are supposed to be, are 95% complete, and everything should be finished by the end of this week. That's Friday this week. And I met with Ron LaBerge, and that's what we're on. This is the schedule that he gave me. So we have to make a circuit, a CECA determination, which is there's no significant environmental impact because LaBerge already did the analysis, but the village needs to pass a resolution that says that we reviewed that and we agree, which we will do tonight. We need to get approval from the county health department. I did sign the application to go to them, so that'll be submitted this week, and so we'll have our application in, and with the plans will be going in, actually be going in on Monday. We have to coordinate with DOT for final comment, which LaBerge will take care of to get that taken care of. And then we have to secure easements from the 7 residents that live on Albany Avenue on the south side so that we can put the main between the sidewalk and their home on that side, on the south side of the sidewalk, because of the fiber optics that are already in place under the sidewalk. So we'll be working on that. We have, we really have until next month or till the bid opening to do that, till they get that awarded. So, so we'll be working on that. So the tentative schedule is completion of plans and specifications are September 11th. We're going to advertise for bid no later than September 21st. We may be able to do that a week earlier, which will just give the bidders an additional time to do the bid, because currently we only have 2 weeks scheduled for them to review and bid the project. We're recommending, and LaBerge is recommending, that we award this as a lump sum project, not a unit price job. So I'm in agreement with that. That way we know what our costs are going to be, and they're not going to vary. So we're anticipating that if we do the work this year, then we would award the contract on October 6th, and we would have a construction completion date for substantial completion by November 15th, and then they would finish up with the final grading, seeding, and any concrete work that had to be done, replacement of sidewalks or whatever, would be done in the spring. So that was the part that Ben alluded to, that we could leave open and talk to Senator Marchione about getting maybe a grant from her community funding that's available, and I would meet with her staff. I already met with her staff once, and they said they would be as helpful as they can with us about, you know, in doing this type of stuff. So we'll see what happens. But I think that the plan that Ben and Ron put together, I think that's a reasonable. I'm not really too thrilled with going through another winter. I mean, the money we spent fixing these mains didn't get us any better mains. It's just a Band-Aid approach. And
bigger main, or
it's going to be an 8-inch main on Albany Avenue, and we're going to reconnect the end up by the tank so we don't have a dead end in front of Bigelow's anymore. So that's looped back in, and we're going to push an 8-inch main under Route 20 and connect that up to the 6-inch that's currently on the south side of Route 20. But that should be able to keep flow going through there, so we shouldn't have any freeze-ups along there either, because it seems like everywhere we had, low flow in the mains, that's where things were freezing. The frost was down so far that that's what was causing the problem. So we think they'll do it, and like I say, I don't think we should wait. But
we've already spent $200,000, right?
Yes.
And so if we wait and we have, like you said, another winter and have to spend another $200,000, I'm assuming this project probably isn't as much as that, right? $400,000. I mean, I don't know yet, but so it would be kind of to wait what could cost us more money in the long run than to do it, you know, by the completion date.
What's the plan going to be for financing?
Well, first we're going to have to get a budget estimate, and and I don't have that yet because we still haven't. We just got the plans today, right. And I've got some changes that we have to tweak on that. But I would think that within the next couple of weeks we should have that information as to what we anticipate the cost is going to be. Then as soon as Wendy gets back from vacation, I'll have to get with her and see how much money's left in the fund. And determine whether or not we're going to have to borrow some money to get this done or how we're going to do it. But, whatever we need to do, we'll just have to put together what needs to be done. If we need to borrow some money, then we'll have to hold a public hearing to do that. We'll have to see how much money's in the, capital fund for repairs and transmission, so we'll have to look at that and see if there might be enough funding between the budget and that to do this. So, but we're kind of moving along as information becomes available, just kind of putting things together. So,
I would probably think that if we had another winter like last year and we didn't do anything, our water budget would be depleted real quick.
Yeah.
And then we would be in a bigger situation with the health department. We have to be afloat. So it's a big decision, and we're probably going to have to bite the bullet and get it done.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the state doesn't seem to care how much money you spend on this stuff. So just because you run out of money, they just, raise the rates. You still got room in your rates. They think we should pay $600 a year for water, and that would be reasonable. And I dare to say that many of the village residents here in this village would find that quite unreasonable.
Can I ask a question?
You may.
That 8-inch coming from the tank down, is that correct?
It's 10-inch coming from the tank on the north side of Route 20. It's a 10-inch main.
All right, and where are they going to tie into that?
They're going to tie in just before the tank into the 10-inch main, and then run an 8-inch main under Route 20, and then the south side is a 6-inch main, so they'll tie into the 6-inch there. I wanted to bring an 8-inch across because if we decided to upgrade that line, we would have some additional capacity to feed it.
So you're going to have actually 18 inches of water coming off the main down through. Is that what you're saying?
18
inches of water coming down?
1/8
inch and 1/10 inch coming from the tank down?
Well, there's a 10 inch that comes out of the tank. And then it'll tee off, continue 10 down the north side of 20, and it'll have a tee on it, and an 8-inch side will go off and go to the south side of 20.
Elm Street's all set. They got all the water. Then the other streets over this way got all the water they need.
Elm Street is 8-inch. John Street is 8-inch. Fairgrounds is 8-inch. Goes across Conemique, 8-inch. Up to Griswold, and then it goes up Griswold, 6-inch. Ties into the south side of 20.
Down by the cemetery. Did you mention one time that had to be upgraded to?
Well, it's currently a 6-inch main. It has a choke point in it somewhere, which, we've talked about this choke point since I was on the board in the 90s. We still don't know exactly where it is. You know, so to upgrade that main would require, you know, would essentially require the replacement of the main. You know, we'd have to get to a good tie-in point where we could come off the 8-inch line with an 8-inch line and run a new 8-inch line out and abandon the existing line, bypassing wherever the choke point was. Currently that, the line is, I mean, it's providing, it doesn't provide good fire protection. That's the issue. Okay, so there's no doubt about that. But it does provide water services to the homes, you know, for the residents that are down that way, and it is doing its job in that respect. So at this point, as long as it holds together and isn't cracking and breaking and stuff like that, then, you know, we'll get through this, and then we'll take a look and see.
This line stops by the bank someplace, and that's where stores are going to pick it up?
The line loops around the bank and ties into, goes down Park Avenue, or McClellan Drive, I'm sorry, and ties into the line that comes over under the creek. So, yes, Margaret.
Can I make a comment about the finances?
Yes.
If you're planning on bonding any amount, you will probably need bond counsel. And once you have bond counsel, there's many legal resolutions, and you won't be able to pay anything out for at least 45 days. So you've got to factor that into when you start the project and when you need the money.
Okay. We'll try and put it all together as quickly as it comes to us.
I mean, and I've been on the board for 9 years, and Lori was with me for those years, and the, you know, the biggest undertaking for the water department was the water tank, okay, and we had to bond the money for that. But every improvement done on the water system, the pump, the electric shed, the generators, was budgeted, and our budget for the water department was able to pay for all those upgrades, and we didn't have to actually fund any money for
right.
it. So I think we've done a great job over the last 9 years upgrading the system, and if we have to...
Well, I understand, and I think the residents do also that mm-hmm. we need to do this, but mm-hmm. I think the point Margaret's making is, you know, the time frame, we can't wait till the last minute. So we will. I'm going to try to get an estimate of what the cost is, and I know Wendy just went on vacation, so she won't be back for 3 weeks, so I'll have to meet with her when she gets back and see what our finances are and review that with her. But I know we do have money in capital funds in the water department, and I know we just took in money from the from collecting the water rents in April, so and we did have some money left over. We weren't totally broke, so we should be able to fund this, even if we have to bond and then get that money to replenish our funds. So but we'll work it out. Yes. I'm not sure what the push under Route 20 is going to cost. I mean, I would say it's we're probably talking about in the neighborhood of $300,000. I would say.
That's cheap.
That's what I would say it is. But it isn't that much, really. It's only like, you know, it's like 800 or 1,000 foot of 8-inch pipe and 7, 8, 10 services, maybe.
Few tree removal.
Yeah. So, you know.
I mean,
but,
it could be worse.
I don't know. You know, I mean, that's a number I just pulled out of the air. But I think it'll be close, within 20%, maybe.
Better put it in another winter like we did last year.
Yeah, I want to just put money in the ground.
Yeah.
Well, it's something that's going to last.
John, I'm going to miss seeing you out on Route 20.
Huh?
I'm going to miss seeing you out on Route 20, watching everybody work.
I know.
Any other discussion on this, on the LeBird's thing? Are we in consensus? We want to do this this year? Does anybody
yes.
have any discussion on that? Pencil. Okay. The board is in consensus for that, so... we're not going to do a resolution on that or anything. We'll just keep plugging along to get done this year. So, I have a resolution on the secret thing. Yes, right there.
We'll get to that when we get to resolutions. Clerk.
Actually, I want to remind everyone that tomorrow's primary day will be open at noon and at 9 p.m. And soon you'll be receiving your actual award. That's
it. Do you have anything on the new phone system? Or?
Oh, actually, yeah, they're scheduled Tuesday.
Coming in Tuesday
yeah.
to do that? Okay.
Mayor, I was talking to Roxanne and Mike, and I think they're looking at, they want to get their own fax line.
Yes, that's coming in as well.
Oh, okay, so they're going to do that all at the same time?
Yeah, a private line, so it doesn't come into the office.
Oh, good.
The court has to be separate, something we weren't doing, but now we're going to.
So they're
going
to do that all at once?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, code enforcement, we have two reports, or we have a report. I guess about the one soon. So we have a report delivered by Kevin Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on anything there? You doing?
Yeah, I saw it right there.
Okay. Animal control, don't have anything on that. Village beautification.
In August, we did the chicken barbecue. We didn't turn anyone away empty-handed, which is a good thing. We did about 90 dinners, so that went very well. The weather cooperated. This Saturday is the Nassau Fest, 11 to 3. We'd love to see you. If you don't want to come as a volunteer, come as a customer. That's important, too. We strive to have good food at a reasonable price, family-friendly price. Free activities, activities where you need to buy a ticket, and then the possibility of winning a Nassau buck. And with your Nassau bucks, you go to the prize tent and redeem all of your bucks for great things, school supplies and stuffed animals and I want to be mayor pins and all sorts of wonderful things. We've got a good set of volunteers lined up. We have 7 community groups who want to participate with us, which is excellent. We always try to get as many groups involved with us. And then 2 weeks from that, on the last Sunday in September, is the Oktoberfest, the event that we seriously try to make money at. And while we give very good quality at a very good price, we hopefully we'll have wonderful weather and we'll be able to put some money into our fund for use throughout the year. One of the things that we're doing this year for the first time, some of you may know, that now in the town of Nassau, we actually have a brewery, a working brewery, a farm brewery, and they are going to join us this year with a selection of their beverages with small samples, and then if you'd like the sample, you can purchase it. So working in cooperation with them. So I think it's kind of nice that we have a local Nassau business, certainly a unique business for this area. And they're excited about it. We're excited about it. And again, the weather makes everything. So I've been in contact with the highway department for the tents for Saturday, and we're all set. So we should be ready to go.
Very good.
Bicentennial Commission took August off. We'll be back the last Monday in September.
Okay, Judy, Youth Committee.
Yep, on Saturday, August 22nd, members of the Village Youth Committee, Kathy is back. Pat Starr and myself participated at the Family Fun Day at Cove's Corners Firehouse, and that was hosted by the Town Youth Committee. We personally helped run games, and we had a book giveaway table, which was very successful. We wound up giving away more than 50% of the books that we stored down. I'd like to thank 3 people who contributed these books, Tracy from the Nassau Free Library, my daughter Carolyn, who brought us tons of baby books, and our village attorney Dave for all the young adult books that he brought. And I didn't even have to censor any of them, Dave.
I read them to my own kids. I couldn't have been that bad.
So thank you very much.
Planning Board, a report. Master plan update. Well, there's some meetings going to be going on at the end of the month after the summer break.
I've personally seen several drafts of chapters. They seem to be coming together well. And the meeting is the 17th of September, 7 o'clock at the library, Nassau Free Library. We'll be reviewing the drafts that are done and hopefully seeing where we need to fill in some holes.
One thing I did forget to report on was that I did speak with SNL Roofing about the roof project. Going back to August or July, you may remember that there was part of the roof. They left the old insulation up there. They didn't take it out and replace it. There was a question of whether or not the insulation was part of the job. I got into an argument with them about, well, whether it was part of the job or not, it shouldn't have been left hanging at the eaves blocking ventilation from our vents up to our windmills up there that ventilate the attic. So I talked to Jeff, who was one of the owners, I think it's Solman or something, is one of the owners of SNL Roofing, and they are going to come out this month and pin all the insulation up against the new roof. So they're going to finish the job, and then we will talk about completing payment for the retention. So we did do that. I was going to have Jay do it, and Jay had actually started a little bit of it. He did a little bit on this end right here, not very far, only got in about 8 or 10 feet, but developed a plan as to how to do it, and SNL will follow that design and finish the work. Okay, old business.
Before we go, I don't see Urswama.
Oh, Urswama.
And I had a question. When we were doing the budget, we talked about the contract, our solid waste disposal contract was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Curley was going to prepare some bids and things like that for us.
Different days, pickup days, and stuff, try to save money. And
so since, our contract ends soon, so.
Oh, I thought it wasn't up until the end of the year.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that's pretty soon, I guess.
Yeah. I know
okay.
There's water things.
I'll talk to Charlie about it and see where he stands with that, and if he needs some help with it, I can help him with it.
Well, he was trying to come up with a whole everybody involved getting the early bid right for the other municipalities.
I think we need to touch base with Matt to see where if he's going anywhere.
Right, but I want to just I'll check with Charlie and see if he has been touching base with Matt and if he has any update for that and. I can let you know what's going on.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. All right, so all business. So EPA letter.
Yep, I got a draft, another shot at it, where I tried to, after I did a letter a while ago, everybody sent comments, and what I tried to do was incorporate that stuff in a letter that prospectively might go out tomorrow. People wanted different tones or different factual stuff in here. I tried to keep some of my own original stuff accommodate what everybody wanted in it. So I thought if we could take a look at it, if there's anything anybody wants me to add, we've got to do it right now. So we got everybody. I'm sorry that two people aren't here, but you know we want to get this out. It's certainly sat on my desk for a long time. So.
Requesting a letter that we feel that total remediation of the site should be done for that quite a bit?
Well, I think that's a separate issue, but what do you think, Dave?
No, I mean, I just tried to cover all the bases here. You know, they've sort of been weaseling about it.
I mean, their stand is to remediate the dump site, right?
Right.
To get in there and get rid of it, right?
Right.
I think so.
That's
I
mean, their plan. That's their stand, yes.
I think we should, as a village, stand with them.
Okay. So how about
I
mean, this?
I don't know how you feel.
No, right? I think that's great. I just didn't know if there was, you know, if
there was concern. We wish to join in his expression, in his demand for
total remediation
and cleanup of the Dewey Lofel landfill.
Okay, so we wish to join in his demand for total remediation and cleanup of the landfill. Period. We request a response from your office about your efforts to remediate. We request to remediate and terminate this problem. How about that?
Okay. I mean, that's
you good guy?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Let's get her done and I'll sign it.
Did you want me to do it in your name there? Because I did it in my name.
You can do it in your name. That's
okay.
Even better.
I'll send it out tomorrow and I'll send everybody a copy. You know, I'll email everybody a copy.
You don't have to find me. Okay, 23 Lake Avenue. Anything new on that? Did they come in and talk to
I'm David or Kevin. I haven't heard anything.
Yep, I haven't seen anything on it. I didn't see anything on the report about it.
Nope.
What's going on with that? Oh, okay. So this is the cider mill they tore down? But they never got a permit for it.
Right. So
now he wants, now he wants to get. He wants his assessment changed because he tore the building down, and he wants relief from water. And I'm saying, well, you know, you got a pile of rubble you just buried. What'd you bury? You know. So he needs to get with the building inspector, get the proper permit, and you know, and show that he's cleaned the site up properly before, you know. I recommend as a board that we do something for him. So that's where we're at. We've told him that he needs to get with the building inspector and he needs to get the proper permits and show that he's disposed of all the materials properly and there's no hazardous waste in the pile of junk. So.
What's going on with the pen
factory? I have no idea.
Movement.
Somebody owns it. Somebody's doing stuff there. That's all I know. I haven't been over to look at it, but.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the library crosswalks on there. I did see that there was a letter sent to Blake about the crosswalks, or it might have been an email, but something was sent to him. I don't know if anything has been received back, though. But that'll be something we won't probably do till spring anyway, but we'll continue to work on that. New York Planning Federation membership. That's this thing.
Yep. So you see in front of you just a brochure. A couple weeks ago, I was contacted by one of the folks who helped me with the grant for the grant application for the rail trail. And this organization, it supports municipalities in planning. It provides technical assistance to the members, planning and zoning audits, preparation of RFPs, community outreach, facilitation of comprehensive planning and code review, and there's a website. It probably listed somewhere on here.
NYFPF.org.
Yep. And one of the things I thought would be helpful was a couple things. I think we'd benefit from membership. It's $250 a year. If we decide to do that. One of the things, it's likely that as a result of our master plan process, we're going to be reviewing and potentially making changes to our zoning. I don't know what those are right now, but this organization would be able to provide, membership would afford us some professional technical assistance with that.
Mm-hmm.
They also provide training, the training that our zoning board members and planning board members need to do every year. So that kind of be part and parcel of the membership. So that's a bonus. So I think this is something that, you know, we don't have to do anything tonight because it's not like it's an immediate need, but we should consider this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a reasonable price, and we can probably benefit greatly from it, especially coming in. So, just want
to it looks like, and can we get onto their website to kind of poke around and see what's on there? All right, well, we'll make sure we put one of these in Dave and Charlie's box so that and tell them what it'll be on. We'll put it on, we'll table this till next month and bring it up when everybody's here, maybe.
Yep.
And then in the meantime, we can check out the website and see what's on there. You go with that? Okay.
Good.
All right. Okay. So we do have some, let's see. We'll do some resolutions before we go in. We're going to go into executive session tonight. We have an item that needs to do that, and we'll audit the bills after we come out of executive session and what other we may have to do as a result of executive session. But we'll do a couple of resolutions tonight, then we'll do public comment, and then those of you that want to hang around can, and those of you that don't have to. So we have a resolution for local law number 2015-2, the residency amendment. I'll entertain a motion to approve the local law. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried and local law is in effect. Set water rates for October 2015. Residential water rates as follows. Base water rate for one or two people is $112.20 for 6 months. Each additional person in the house, $15.30 for 6 months. Residents outside the village will pay 1.5 the amount of the residential village rate. There will be an additional line on the water bill, WPB01, at $50 per unit. This is to pay for the water tank. This charge will be on the water billing every 6 months until 2025. The final bond payment is June 15, 2025. If you have questions about the calculation of your water bill, please contact Village Clerk Melissa Turner Bulin at 766-3044, extension 2.
Well, I put it as 1 because it'll be 1 starting Tuesday.
Oh, you changed it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's
going to
be changed.
Okay.
We're changing the number.
Okay. Questions?
Missy, what about the commercial rates?
We do those in April.
We don't set down every set once?
In April we do.
No. Commercial rates, 6-3. So you have to, commercial rates have to be also set in October. Correct?
No.
So, we have to include in the resolution the commercial.
All right. So, no change to the commercial rate?
No change to the commercial rates at this time, but there has to be set also.
Okay. Commercial rates to be set at the same rate as April, whatever that was.
I think. I'm sorry?
And a copy of it is in the clerk's office if somebody wants to.
Yep, right. So that has to be added to what's happening in the clerk's office for review, on file for review.
Okay, so we're modifying that to add that the commercial rates that were established in April be carried over to the October billing with no changes, and that a copy of the water rates, will be available at the village clerk's office for review or copy, whatever.
Make a motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any questions or any additions? Any additional additions? No. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? No opposed. We're good. I have one resolution here. I'll give you this You can read my hand scratching later. So I'm going to make a resolution. The village board reviewed the short environmental assessment form, which is in the packets I gave you earlier, and concurs that the project, which is the new 8-inch main and the piece under Route 20, will not result in any significant adverse environmental impact. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion or resolutions passed. Okay, open the floor for public comment prior to going into executive session. Yes, Lori.
Just want to thank you for addressing the garbage.
Okay. All right, so I'll entertain a motion. Yes, John?
Yeah, I don't know if it was last meeting or the meeting before, somebody mentioned about a couple of farms about a sidewalk or something, that they didn't put a sidewalk through the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them, I think, better off blacked up with the salt and everything. I don't know if a sidewalk would take all the beating with the traffic. With the trucks, it would probably break up. Probably better off leaving it as blacked up so it fluctuates in the summertime. Or concrete might break.
Well, I know the code enforcement was supposed to be talking to them about that, but I have not heard anything.
But, you know, you think about that blacktop and plus the concrete is not going to. Might be getting more damage than we need.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
I know when Cumberland Farms came to us with their project, my specific question to the corporate was, where are you going to push the snow? Okay, I looked at that property and I have no clue where they're going to push this snow.
In their pond.
What?
Probably in their pond.
They can't get to it.
No.
They
can't get to it?
No.
I guess they're not going to put it there, then, aren't they?
No, they got a big fence there with their dumpsters that blocks it.
My concern as a resident and a board member is the big pile of snow that we kind of said we didn't want it on the corner of 203 and Route 20. They can push it in their little area where you have the seating. They can push it against the nice new fence against the house. They can't push it down that long driveway where the dumpsters is. So I think Kevin, needs to ask them what's going on. They can't push it out on the sidewalk. There's
right.
actually no place for them to push this now. And they can't push it on the tanks. So I think we're going to have a problem. Come winter time. I mean, but we need to put them on notice that they need to truck it out. And he assured us that no problem. I don't see a solution there.
The Cumberland on Poling Avenue is land blocked also. There's a road on one side and a building on the other and the highway on the front. So I don't know what they do with it, but that's a remodeled one, not as large as this. They must have the same problem.
I know nobody wants to hear about snow, but it's something that we need to think about. So maybe Charlie, who's in charge, or Dave?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we should contact. They're going to be putting corporate handling the bids for snow. So I think we need to touch base with corporate to ask them.
Well, we'll shoot an email over to Dave Scotia and ask them to see if they have a plan for snow removal. And they will share it with us.
So.
Okay. All right. I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Motion.
Motion by Randy. Second by Guy.
Sure. Second.
You're it.
What is the reason?
Discuss pending litigation.
Pending litigation. Entertain a motion to come back out or come into a normal regular session, whatever we're doing. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Saying aye. Okay, so motion to audit the bills. Where's the bills? Thank you. Okay, motion to audit bills number 126 through 156 in the amount of $16,731.31 in the general fund and $25,585.59 in the water fund.
Make a motion.
Motion by Guy. Seconded by Randy. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, adjournment's in order.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by second. Randy, second by Guy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're done. Thank you all for coming tonight.